that it's the same thing. 19, so backwards or forwards, it's the same thing. And that's only going to happen again in 100 years. Now, I'm not going to be here, so y'all enjoy that, but that's just a little tidbit. But we started out this morning at a very beautiful service at the Veterans Memorial this morning. Last year, it rained so hard, but we did it, but we were soaked. But today, it was just beautiful, and the spirit was just precious. And when the high school kids started singing a cappella, they began to sing God Bless America, I just wept. I'm so grateful that our kids can still sing about God. And I just encourage everybody who was there to write letters to the high school and thank them for that, because we need to water those seeds. But tonight we're going to talk about a little different thing. We've been studying on the benefits of salvation, and certainly we know that praise is a benefit to salvation. We're going to look at that a little bit tonight. And I apologize for the notes. They're handwritten with a broke hand, but I wanted you to have something in case you wanted to take notes so you could follow along tonight. And not to embarrass you, but I just want you to know, Kristen, I'm so glad you're home. We love you. We have prayed to have you close so we could just look at your beautiful face and love you. And God has answered that prayer. And we're grateful. So tonight, it's actually on page 248 in your, 428 in your pew Bible, if you want to follow along. But we're going to look at Psalms 103, verses 1 and 2, because I want to talk about this being a day of remembrance. Today, there were lots of statistics that were going around, and, you know, they were quoting how many people, civilians, how many firemen, how many policemen had lost their lives in the terrorist attack. My niece was in that building, and, you know, I'm really hoping that one day she'll come and give her testimony. She's definitely still not over it, you know, God had prepared her, and that's something that she'll never be able to get away from, is how God had protected her and provided for her. In fact, I think she felt guilty about it because so many of her friends died that she lived. But I wanted to share this with you. They were talking about today that over 3,000 people were killed in that one attack. And I began to think about that and, you know, how everybody remembers that. Well, I want you to remember this. Between the year 2000 and 2010, I got it documented off three different sites that over 1 million Christians were murdered and martyred during that 10-year period. Over 1 million. It's a million a year, right? Everybody with me? So then I went to the year 2017. Then I wanted to kind of get an idea how many a year are murdered Christians and martyred for their belief. And it said that 3,066, they believe, is the true number of Christians killed for religious reasons in 2017. But they don't think that's right. They think it's a declared undercount because they're trying to hide the number that's actually happening. And in the Congo, they had over 7,000 Christians that were murdered because they were Christians, pulled out of their homes and murdered because of their beliefs. And I don't want to share that with you to be, you know, a downer. I just want you to realize that injustice is all around us, and you need to be speaking the word and speaking in love, in terms of love, to everybody you know, even the haters. Guys, the thing that drives people's passions in our culture is hatred. You know, if you disagree with me, I'm not just going to disagree. We're going to destroy you. Guys, our passions rule us, and our passion has to be love because that was his passion. So this scripture is, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, and forget not all his benefits. It's a day to remember. Yeah. I thought about this, because a lot of people tell you that when you are going to bless the Lord, you should only bless the Lord for who He is, not just for what He does. But I want to tell you something. What He does is who He is. I can't separate the two. And I shared this with someone that was going through a struggle, and it's a strong believing Christian. Let me just say this. There is a true oppressive spirit right now that is being poured out on all of Christianity. Is everybody listening to me tonight? Yes. I want you to stay with this, okay? There's a true spirit that is trying to attach itself by division, and that is leading to discouragement, and discouragement wants to leave us in depression so that we will quit. Okay, we're going to expose that tonight, and this is how David encouraged himself. This is a benefit of your salvation, to bless the Lord. And I can bless the Lord for what He's done. My devout Christian friend who just told me they were devastated over the pastor who committed suicide and knew him. And we're just so hurt over it. And I said, but don't you see, this is the same thing that's trying to attach to you. This should energize us to get out and encourage one another instead of letting the depression come on us. And I want to tell you, I don't care if you think I'm crazy. I got nothing to lose here but a bad reputation. But my thing is this. When I get in that room, I probably would scare some of you if you ever went in that room with me. But I don't care, right? You know why? Because I'm going to bless the Lord, oh my soul. The soul is the place that's inside that is hurt, that's crying out, that listens to the things of the world, that gets that filter all clogged up with doubt and fear and discouragement. And when I begin to bless the Lord for what He's done, when I begin to go back and think about what He's done, I begin to pour out. And man, I want to encourage you guys. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. I don't care if you got rainbow colors all over you. I don't care if you're old or young. I'm telling you, everybody in this room needs to be pouring out from their souls and getting this stuff out, because there's a place where we need to break down so we can break out with the Lord. Man, I got in there and I just told my friend, I just began to just encourage. I said, listen, I can't tell you what's going to be tomorrow, but the Bible clearly says don't go into tomorrow. But I know that He's going to be faithful. My only doubt about God is when I try to get ahead of Him. With me? But if I think about everything He's done and how He's done it, how detailed He was, the only time I got in trouble is when I got ahead of Him, or thought I knew better than He did, or I let the world tell me. Staying with me? So I look at those things and I come back and I'm thinking, wow, look at how God was aligning us in situations we didn't even know about. And I look back at, my niece, and some of you may have heard me tell this story, and she just was going from building one to building two. She worked for Lehman Brothers, and she was working for this big job in Paris, France. That was her goal. And she was so close to it. And that day they had a meeting between the buildings, and she thought, I'm going to take my purse. And they never did. And she said if she hadn't had her purse, all her ID, her car, she traveled on the ferry to get, she lived across the ferry, took the ferry to get back over from Manhattan. And she had her cell phone. And when all this happened, when she wasn't even caught in the stairwell. But when she got to the bottom and she saw the first plane hit, she called my mom. And she said, Granny, you need to start praying. Something horrible's just happened. Granny, now listen, I don't know where people live day to day, but what I do know is this. Can you affirm with me that when people are in trouble, they're going to do one or two things? They're going to blame God, or they're going to reach out to God. And I don't care. I don't care. I've seen many atheists blame God, okay? Then you believe in something. But here's the thing. My mom began to pray for her, and Two nights before this had happened, I had a dream that I was in a building high up and there were black curtains all over, and a black helicopter came by. And I was praying over that, and I called my sister and I said, something is wrong. I don't know what it is, but I'm really troubled. And we just began to pray. And I told my mom, and this is the thing we know, God prepares you for things that you don't know about. Everything's not about you. Everything's not about me. Sometimes God puts a burden on us to pray for someone who doesn't know how to pray for themselves. Because I can guarantee you somebody's been praying for me when I couldn't do it. So it's just a thing where we're paying this forward. But he says, bless the Lord, oh my soul. So I praise him for what he's done because I know that's who he is. And we look back, guys, I look back at some of the things that God has done, and I'm amazed at how I was even, he couldn't tell me because I wouldn't have done the right thing. I would have said, you're wrong. That doesn't need to happen. That's mean. But God was protecting me. He was providing for me through the whole thing. So when you think about this kind of depth of praise, I'm talking about the thing where you're just gut-wrenching sometimes. Oh, you're weak. You know, that makes you a weak person. That means you know that you just don't have the strength and the stamina. When I'm weak, he's strong. And if I'm operating in my strength, I can tell you how long it'll last. It'll last till the next trial. And then I'll start griping and complaining and feel sorry for myself and blow up the balloons and have the party because life's worse on me than everybody else, which is a total lie from the pit of hell. Yeah, there is a hell, there is a pit, and the enemy is out trying to steal your joy and your victory every day. That's why the word says that every day you and I are going to face temptation, but it doesn't come from God. It comes from the one who wants to separate us from God, but God's made a way of escape. Yeah, but here's the power. Think about this. David is coming in and he's speaking this out. Am I the only one who has to speak to yourself to get you motivated sometimes? Yeah, man, I get in there. Hey, Kristen, you're a coach. How do you motivate them? Do you just put up a sign and say, today I want you to do a good job? No. Yeah, you know, don't you? Christina knows. What does a coach say to you to get you motivated? That's right. You can do this. We got this. You know, you see all these football teams that have all these great slogans and things, you know, to move them forward. That's because there's something in the voice. There's something in the spoken word that changes the attitude of the heart because it recognizes the power of authority. Now, we can look at that in the natural, like we just did, but I want us to look and see that I believe that the power of praise absolutely has a physical, tangible, touch-it effect when we begin to praise him. Let's just look in the Word. When Paul and Silas began to sing praises to the Lord, what happened? The chains in the prison came off of them. Physically shook that place. When Jehoshaphat, he had these enemies that were coming against him. There was no way he could do it. And he sent the singers out in front of the army that were singing, we will bless the Lord for his goodness. And you know what happened? The enemy turned on themselves and killed each other. There's a physical effect. I've always said, you know, praises is like, singing praises like screaming in the sound of Satan's ears. He can't stand it because that's his goal, is to get your praise. And when you doubt God, you're praising the devil. I'm not going to do it. So man, not just that, but you come to the other story about that we all love, and that's Jericho. You know, marching around it. And on the seventh day, they begin to shout, and it caused it to go. And I'm telling you that there are cracks and crevices that the enemy, who is not all-powerful, he is not sovereign, and he does not know everything. There's cracks in his schemes. And when we begin to praise the Lord, we shake those cracks, and those schemes fall down. But the goal is to get you and me so depressed and so discouraged, we won't believe it, we won't try, and then he's got us. And it's not because God wasn't willing, But I'm going to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I will bless your holy name. And then he comes in and he tells us this. Never forget the invasions, guys, where you were. See, we want to forget, oh, just forget that bad stuff. Now, if you don't serve the Lord and even as a Christian, what's some of your biggest memories? The worst thing that happened. You ain't remembering no Christmas when you cried for, you know, Barbie dolls or bikes. You ain't thinking about them good things. No, we think, they done me wrong. That happened to me. I shouldn't have never. How come they? You with me on that? Because that's human nature. So I've got to hook my nature up with the supernatural and say, I'm just going to bless the Lord. And what he wants us to do is he wants us to bless the Lord. Don't forget that invasion. No, but don't glorify in it and give it more power than what it has over you. Well, Gay, you don't know what I've been through. Nope, I sure don't. But I can guarantee you this. There's nobody in this room that's been through anything worse than somebody else in this room. Because what may be nothing to you may be devastation to someone else. See, you know, we're this way. Steve says what he wants to say. He's done. I can't do that. I'm analyzing. I'm reanalyzing. We're just all made different. Okay? So here's the thing I want you to see. I don't want you to forget those invasion places where the devil came in and invaded your heart, your life, your love, stole from your emotions. I don't want you to forget it. I want you to praise God for it. Because I can see his faithfulness in it. Don't look at things that are not giving God glory. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And if you need to take that little phrase and get in front of the mirror and go, you know what, honey? Today, you are going to praise the Lord. If you need to get in the mirror and say that, if you need to get in there and say, you know what? Today is not going to be the day you're defeated, Missy. Today's the day you're going to start trusting God more and you're going to see a better victory because you're changing your attitude. Right? So here we go. Never forget the invasion, but bless the Lord from your soul. You know what your soul is? Oh, that's a place of your desires, your emotions, your will. Sometimes I have to check my will to do his will. What does that mean? Does that mean that I have to follow this? I'm going to tell you what it means. One thing you have to do. It's like, I'm going to make this easy. You have to love God more than you love anything else. And when you love God more than you love anything else, you'll love other people. That's the word, friends. That's the word, because he is love. Love not only covers a multitude of sin, and how many in this room need to forgive themselves before they move on down the list? I'm just telling. But man, if we could just learn to love him and let him love us, it would all fall into place. It would all fall into place. Doesn't that sound too simple? You know what? My flesh, it's so hard for my flesh, but he's promised me that he's going to make a way of escape. He told us every time you leave your house, when you open your eyes, temptation's going to come. I think I'll stay at home today. I don't want to be tempted. Your mind is going to be your biggest struggle. Well, you know, if you go out, they're going to do this. Or how come they didn't come check on you? Or a thousand other things. I have to make up my soul to say, today I will praise the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, this is the hardest thing to do. Ramona, could you look at Ron after he had a stroke and said, my soul will bless the Lord? Isn't that the hardest time you can do that? Right? That's the sacrifice of praise, because the world tells you you are entitled to be upset. You are entitled to be mad at God. You are entitled. And God is saying, I want that sacrifice. I want you to praise me when you're at your lowest, because baby girl, I'm going to bring you to the highest. That's his word. Thank you, Renee. Somebody wake up in here. Okay. Remember his benefits. What have we been talking about for 6 months? The benefits of salvation. You've got to remember his benefits. That's a key word. Remember whose? His benefits. Because the world is going to tell you, if you just did this, you could have X amount more money. Yeah, if you just would let that slide. Listen, y'all know I love Zulily. If y'all get on there, y'all use my email address so I can give me some money. But all I'm saying is, I like to shop. I don't have time to go shopping anymore. I don't really care about it. And I can do the under $10 deals. I love it. So I went on there and I had an order and it was five things. And the order was for $60. Okay, that included shipping. Everything was about $10 anyway. So one of the things did not ship. So I sent the thing back and I said, hey, I didn't get these little cake icing spatulas that I was hoping to have in time for the cake class, and then I did this. But anyway, I'm going to be at cake class next year. I'm going to get ready for cake class now. Yeah. So anyway, they didn't come. So I sent the thing in and I said, hey, I didn't get these. And they said, well, wait two more days to make sure because it shows you got it. I waited two more days. I actually waited four. I said, I still did not get these. So the lady sends me an email this morning after all this, and she says, we're going to refund you your $60.19 for the order that you didn't get, and we're going to give you an extra $10 for your trouble. Well, okay, but I got the other four things. So I emailed. Now, I was tempting. I'm not going to stand up here and act like I'm perfect. I was like, ooh, I'm going to hand me some $70. Come on, Jesus. Ooh, shopaholic right here. I'm going to feel good. But you know what I did? I said, God, if I keep that money, because I'm tempted, but if I keep that money, what does that say about what I think about you? So, man, I just wrote them back. I said, look, I said, $60 is too much. I'm looking for the $9.79 for these two little spatula things, and that's all I want back, but I would appreciate keeping the 10 for the trouble. Come on, girl, got to work it. So I went ahead and I sent it back. Okay, so she sends me back, because you're honest, we want you to keep it all. They didn't have to do that. And neither did I. You are never, ever going to outdo God when you listen to him. He says that it's going to come back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I recognize in context that's talking about judgment. But I want you to understand something. When you give to him, the increase comes from him. And it's more than I could ever do. So he says, remember his benefits. We have learned in this study that fear is a benefit of God. I had a guy go, he said to me, that ain't right. I said, yes, it is, because when you're scared, when a kid's scared, what do? They run to their mom or daddy. And I said, God uses fear to get us to recognize our weakness so we will run to him for strength. There is nothing that's going to happen to you and me that God can't turn for good. If there is, then he's a liar. And I'm going to tell you right now, he ain't no liar. Whatever's telling you he is the lie. Yep. Always go with the G-O-D, okay? Speak his mercies. Speak about his mercy. Don't begin to say to people, well, because you did that. When people tell you what they do, they're looking for acceptance from you, not to condone the sin, but to give them hope that they don't have to stay in the sin. So if I tell of his mercy, if somebody says, you don't understand, this is what I did, I can say it doesn't matter what you did, because the Bible says in James 2:10, if you keep the whole law and yet offend one point, you're guilty of all. So if I did A and you did J, they're the same. But he's forgiven me. The problem is, will I accept his forgiveness? Or will I keep telling him that my sin is greater than his mercy? We need to tell about his mercy. You need to tell about your junk and tell people, here's what I did. I told you my junk on Zulily. I tell you my junk when I fear. Why? Because I want you to know we're all human. We're all going to be tempted, but we can all overcome. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. But believe me, it's going to be harder if I get the bill that says my car's paid off. Just saying. But, you know, I'm still going to have to do the right thing, okay?
We'll just move on. Speak of his mercy. And then I want you to tell of his faithfulness. You know what? God is faithful to us when we aren't even faithful. Before you even knew who God was being faithful to you. I had a Sunday school teacher when I was a little girl. She was our children's pastor, and she was just this gentle little white-headed lady, and I just loved her. And she would take shoe boxes and cover them with gift wrap paper and bake homemade cookies and bring to your house. She was just the best. And she loved Jesus, and she'd just talk about Jesus, and tears would come down her face. And I just remember sitting there I just can't wait to hear Sister Shirley this Sunday. And we would go to her house, and her daughter, Evelyn, was there. And they lived in a little, lived in Mississippi, and they lived in a little town called Boyle, B-O-Y-L-E. Now, that was outside the big city of Cleveland. Just let me let you know. We weren't all hicks. So we would drive to Boyle to see, Sister Shirley. And she had this little house. But I remember there was always something baking when she knew you were coming. You know what they say, nothing smells loving like something from the oven. Anyway, she had that always going, and we went in, and her daughter was there. And her daughter was just mean. And after she left, Sister Shirley would just cry, and she would say, God, stop, let's stop now and pray for Evelyn. And I remember we'd just stop, and we'd pray for her, and I just thought, Sister Shirley, she's a saint. And my mom and her were talking in the kitchen one day, and they would let me go do woman talk with them sometime and, pour me milk with a little coffee in it. That's probably why I'm an addict today. Let's just blame somebody else. But anyway, so I'd go in the kitchen, and they'd be talking, and she would cry, and my mom would say, "Now, God's bigger than Evelyn's sin." She'd say, "You don't understand. I'm the reason Evelyn does what she does." My mom would say, "Why?" And she told that she was a prostitute. I didn't even understand what they were talking about. I thought she meant she was a salesman. And she said, "I used to go out," and she said, "I would leave Evelyn at home and go out at night. I would paint myself up and go out at night, especially when the sailors came in." And she said, "I would leave her alone. And then when I got where I wasn't pretty enough, I'd work in the bars. But I'd leave Evelyn at home." But she said, "Every night when I left this house, I prayed all the way to where I was going, 'God, keep that baby safe. God, keep that baby safe.'" And she said, "I would tell her these stories," and she said, "I hate you. I was made fun of in school. I hate you. I hate you." And she said, "That's why Evelyn is the way she is." And I remember my mom standing up looking at her, and she said, "In the name of Jesus, I break that lie off of you. Because your daughter should see the hand of God. And if you're standing in and being her Savior, she'll never accept Jesus because you're the one willing to go to the cross. And I break that lie off of you. She should choose to do better because of what you did wrong, not blame you for it." And I remember her standing up. She just began to bless the Lord, "Oh, my soul," all over that kitchen in little jumpy circles. She was so happy and so set free. Because we have to recognize he is in my soul. My sin is not bigger than God. My failure is not bigger than God unless I get in agreement with, "Well, I did that, so that's how it's going to be." Okay, you claim your failure. I'm going to go in there and just shout it out, okay? "God, I recognize who I am and what I am, but your word is clear. You are faithful. I will bless the Lord on my soul. I will not forget your benefits. When I was this way, you were covering me and I didn't even know it. When I got caught, it was mercy and grace because I didn't know how to get out of it." Hearing me? "God, because I didn't get caught, you were covering me to give me the opportunity to come clean privately." Any of these things ringing true with anybody out here? But I can't look at 9/11 and speak to something that's going to happen 20 years from now, but I can look back and tell you what he's done. Even the worst things I've seen God bring glory and victory out of. So it's not a place of devastation. If it becomes devastation, we're going to grow independent from God and we'll be ungrateful and we'll lose hope. Good or bad, guys. And this is the thing that about never forgetting, always remember. Ken, would you do me a favor and go lift up that cloth on the front of that table over there? That's our communion table. Here's the thing. Is it they or is it he? Is it they that you're more concerned about, or is it he, God? There's this little thing, we play this little game called HQ on our phones, you know, and it says, what's it going to be? I'm saying, they or he, what's it going to be? What does that say? Is that so we can forget him? No. It's so we remember that his blood and his body was given for us. And I want you to think about this. When you are taking in those elements, it is as if when he says, eat of my body, do you understand that what he's really saying is, I want you to physically take in who I am, because your mind can't even conceive that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to physically recognize that when you eat that bread and when you drink that juice, because we don't do wine, because, you know, y'all all in trouble. Y'all be taking communion for weeks. We'll be in trouble. I've had a communion shot. I'm just kidding. Anyway, I got a hallelujah on that. But I'll keep it private who it was. But anyway, so, yeah. But here's the thing. I feel like I'm physically, like it's physically saying to me, not that I'm a cannibal, but that I'm sharing in who he is. He's giving me tangible evidence that I'm worthy to take in who he is. So I remember him. I'm going to go on. I'm going to meddle. Just get ready. M-E-D-D-L-E, not M-E-T-A-L. I'm just Southern. I want to meddle with you. Get up in your beeswax, okay? Here's the thing. Take the word remember, like replay, revisit. Re means to do again, right? We are members of one body. To remember means to do it again. We are being remembered, brought back as one body when we take communion together as a church family. We are remembering ourselves into one. Because between today and you get back in here Sunday, that was not a thought, that was not a, you know, suggestion. When you get back in here Sunday, we are going to remember up as one body, and wherever you're hurting, I'm telling you, somebody else is in there praying, and little zing things are going all over this building. And you may be thinking, you know, well, I don't need that, you know, whatever. I want to tell you, there's a peace that will come upon you that will give you rest in the middle of a service. And you may not remember but three things, but the three things you get will be the most powerful thing that you could have. Ooh, talk about a Luna bar. Come on, you know, protein bar. The Word of God is powerful. It is effective and it is alive and it brings life. So is it going to be them or is it going to be him? I got to choose on this. Who has more power in my life? My enemies or the one who sets me free from my enemies? See, the devil does this number on you because you have to be the one to not choose to remember. Yeah, I want to tell you, I looked at the things that cause you to forget, okay? So I looked at three different medical sites. They all say the same thing, they just vary on two. But let me give them to you. Here's your natural reasons why we forget. Did you forget what I said? I'm just kidding. Okay. One is stress, okay? Stress is an overwhelmed mind, okay? Number two, this is where they kind of go off, you know, a little bit. One is saying when you multitask, you're trying to do too many things at one time. Ding, 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 guilty. And the other one says multiple interruptions. Okay, so they're kind of the same thing, but one you have a little bit of control over, one you don't. But both of those, they call it a brain overload, that you should not multitask, that all these things that are telling you to multitask are wrong because your brain was only intended to concentrate on one thing, and just because it can do it, you get on brain overload, okay? The third thing was a lack of sleep. That's 7 hours, you need it. You really do. Okay. The fourth thing is depression or shock. The fifth thing was medications. Medications can cause you to have forgetfulness. The sixth thing was, and this is where some of them vary. One will say nutritional deficiency, while the other one blames nutritional deficiency on an underactive thyroid, and that can cause forgetfulness. But this was what was very, then one says a head injury, hello, and then the other one says that it's releasing of chemicals in the brain, whether by injury or natural causes. And a natural cause, they call it pregnancy brain. When you're pregnant, they say that the hormones overrides the brain and you become very forgetful. Thank God I'm not pregnant. I'd be in real double trouble there. And the other one, my friend Vicky, who's waiting to have a liver transplant, they've told her, they describe her as ammonia brain because the liver's not there to process it and it backs up an ammonia in the brain and literally she doesn't remember, she's repeating things. And they've told her kids to behave and be nice to her because she has ammonia brain. All right, that's in the natural. Let's go look in the supernatural. Stress, an overwhelmed mind. If you weren't here Sunday, you should listen to the message. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We've got to have the mental rest of God. You know the scriptures. You know, he will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. You know the scriptures. The other thing, the multitasking and the frequent interruptions and the brain overload. Doesn't he say, don't worry about tomorrow? Today's got enough trouble of its own. Doesn't he say to focus on him? Look to him, the author and finisher of our faith. Look to me, your help, when you're weak. You know, I'll be strong. And instead of us, we get on brain overload. I have to do all these things. Lack of sleep. Guys, this is responsible for so many. They've even proven it, you know, in science, that lack of sleep. He wants us to have rest. And he says he gives a rest, and his rest is complete. His rest is perfect. Depression or shock? I remember after Leah died, I could not remember things. And I would go in the bathroom, and after I would use the restroom, I would do this. There was the sink, and there was a towel dispenser. And I would just go, and I could not put together what I was supposed to do. And I was so freaked out by it that I went to the doctor. That I have to be really freaked out to go to a doctor. So, not that I don't, hello, but, you know. So I went to the doctor, very sweet doctor, who was our doctor, and he had read in the paper about Leah. And just couldn't believe it. And so he's like, do you want, you know, sleeping meds? I was like, no, I think I'm losing my mind. And I told him, I said, I'm brushing my hair, and like the brush is just filled with hair. And then I went in the restroom, and I just started crying. I said, do I have Alzheimer's? You know, and he's like, no, you have shock. He said, you are in shock, and your mind. He said, somebody that has Alzheimer's doesn't even remember how they got in the restroom. You know you're in the restroom. You know you're supposed to be doing something. Your brain's just been tweaked where it's shocked, and it's on overload, and it can't decide which thing. I know I'm supposed to do one, but you're okay. How many of you are feeling better about your life after that story, right? Okay, because it's not that you don't remember how you got where you went. And if you do, come down. We'll pray for you later. But that's the point. He will help us. God will help us reconnect those things, okay? Then medications. I'm not against medication, but I believe you ought to be praying over them before you put them in your body. I'm not kidding. What's the difference in praying over your food and praying over your medication? God, let this go and have the benefit for which you intended it, but I pray in your name there will be no adverse effects to my body. God, this is your temple. Let it go to what it was supposed to go for. And at the same time, if it's the wrong medicine, let it make me sick, God, because I don't want to be taking something that's harming me. Right? What's wrong with asking God to help with that? Then you want to talk about, you know, the nutritional deficiency and the ammonia brain or whatever, we have to eat. He says, eat my word. We have to be taking that in like it's our nutrition, because this is why we forget who he is. We come in and we are stressed. We freak out and we don't seek out. We don't rest in the Lord. We rest in how much money's in the bank. We rest in who likes us. We rest in how many people affirmed us. Okay? No, we should be resting in confidence that God loves me and he's going to take care of me. And the things, the nutritional deficiency, there's a lack in our soul sometimes when we don't pray and when we don't eat right. They or he, what's it going to be? Which memory is it that drives you? You know, there's something that's driving you. Ooh, I just want this to stop. I'm going to give this to God. That's the hardest thing you'll ever do. But I want to read Malachi 3:16 to you. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. And a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. When you get to heaven, there is not going to be a big screen in surround, you know, that's going to be your whole life and they can see every pore in your skin and see your brain thinking horrible porno thoughts or whatever. It's not going to happen. The scroll of remembrance, when the roll is called up yonder, he has your name, Hebrews says, in his book of life. They're going to call roll, and he's going to open a scroll, and he's going to say to you, Shada, I saw when you wanted to quit, and you didn't. Good girl. That's what's going to happen. And he's going to open that scroll, and he's going to say, Christina, I'm glad they called you Red, because you took my blood in every day. And you weren't a single mom who was sad about it. I was your husband. Good girl. That's what's going to happen in heaven. Yeah, he's going to open that scroll. And he's going to tell us, because he recognized the hard places that we were in that we gave to him. And that's going to be, I mean, I think there's going to be like crowns and stuff. Like I visualize these, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, treasure piles. He's going to go, okay, go and get you a handful. I'm going to go, okay. And then I'm going to have these pearls I've always wanted. And then I'm going to go, you know what? You take them because you're the one. I'm just glad to be here. I'm going to lay that stuff back down at his feet. Woo. Hebrews 16. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you've shown to him as you've helped his people and continue to help them. God does not have forgetful ammonia brain. God is not forgetful. We remember him, but we have to tell ourselves, don't forget. Don't forget his benefits. Don't forget his faithfulness. Don't forget that he's the head, and don't forget that he's going to help you. But he's never going to forget you. Never. That's a guarantee. So I want to read to you 2 Corinthians 9:11, because it's 9:11 and we're remembering. It's a day of remembrance. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you will always be generous. See, the world is trying to steal our generosity from us. Now, you don't need to tithe. If you tithe, you're not going to have enough for what you need. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't tithe, you're stealing from yourself. It's just that simple. Don't ask me how you do better on 90% than 100%, except this. When 90% belongs to the Lord and 100% belongs to you, your tire not be wearing out. Y'all with me? I'm just telling you the truth. Zulily going to be calling you, okay? You're not going to outgive God. And it's not because he's greedy. It's because we love money more than we love God. Is that? Okay, keep going. She's still meddling. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And not just with money, but with your heart and your time and your affection. When you're caught up in drama, you can't give your heart or your affections to other people because you're so bound in one toxic thing. He says, and when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. You see, you being good to other people, Renee, when you're whipped But you know, that's your mission field. Like if we had, honestly, if I had a mission map of every place we support, Christian Center, I would put Dixie House on there because that is a mission field. Wherever your job is your mission field. You are a missionary. We're going to have missionary, commissionary going on up here. We're going to start giving out certificates so you believe who God says you are. So when we go in, when we take our gifts to those in need, they will thank God. They will remember God's goodness because of you and me. God is not forgetful on purpose. Can I say the same thing about me? Am I remembering on purpose? God's remembering me on purpose. Will we remember him? Will we do this in remembrance of him? It's intentional. It's intentional. Start setting your alarm 10 minutes earlier and just give him 10. Because I know for a fact it's going to take you 5 to wake up. But I'm trying to make you look good. So just 10 minutes. Give him 10 minutes and see what will happen in that 10 minutes. One phrase can set you free for the whole day. And I'll share this little story with you and then I'm done. This past week was really hard. And, you know, I was like, you know what? I don't need this. Now, y'all have never said that phrase because you were looking at me like, you are evil. But I was like, you know what? I don't need this. I don't need this pain. I don't need this heartache. Let's just be done. Right? And so I went in and I challenged him. Do you ever challenge? Just show me what you got. Poof. You're a s'more. Oh, anyway. So I'm praying and I hear Luke 18. I'm like, okay, fine. You know, gosh. Thank you, God, for your mercy. So I go to Luke 18. And the first verse says, he used this story to show the disciples that we must pray and never give up. And I'm like, you know, part of you's mad because you don't want that answer. You just want the part that says, be ye separate and come out from among them. Right? But I didn't get that one. Some of you who know that are getting that. But anyway, so I just began to read that about the unjust judge who didn't even care about God. And he didn't care about the people he was serving. He just wanted the money. But that woman kept on. And she kept on until he finally said, look, I'm just give her what she wants. Now, if Jesus would tell the disciples it's okay to bug your heavenly daddy, I figure it's okay to just keep bugging him. So every, like, 5 minutes, I'm like, okay, I need a block. I need you to do this. I need you, blah, blah, blah. Come on, show me something, blah, 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 blah. So what happens? I'm going to be honest. I get to church, and there's less people here than I thought after I sent out 450 letters. I'm like, what in the world? People just don't care anymore, you know. So I'm starting to get all, you know, not on God. What did we do wrong? Has the devil, you know. So then I begin to talk to all these other people, and they're all like, man, our church attendance was down Sunday. Man, it was really down Sunday, like across states. It was because it was the first week of football, and everybody wanted to have a party. Okay, that's a statement about our times. I get it. But I'm telling you, Mike Mann came to church and went to the game, and they won. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Josh came and played, and then he went home to the party. I'm just saying. Y'all want him to win? You need to turn up. Bella, I should have had an amen. The girl was back there working, serving all day. Was it worth it? Okay. It was worth it. Okay. So that's the thing. And then I'm like, God, whatever. And when I begin to hear all these other stories and some other people that were discouraged, I begin to bless the Lord over them to encourage them. And all of a sudden, I wasn't discouraged. Forget not all his benefits. When I get fog brain about who God is, that's when I get depressed. And I'm just asking in this room, who's ready to say, if over 3,000 people, we're going to say, we will never forget, we will always remember, and if there's 1 million Christians being martyred every year, and we could say, I will never forget, I will always remember, who in this room will stand tonight and say, I will always remember the faithfulness of God, and I will not forget His benefits? I'm asking you to stand. Who's going to do it? And I don't want it to be about, well, if they would have, or if that would, is it them or him? Is it they or he? Because I'm going to tell you something. Love, Sylvia. Sometimes God puts us in situations to remove us from things we can't say no to. And you know what? God is with you, little lady. God is on you. He's with you and He's in you. And I'm telling you guys something tonight. We need to say to the devil, I'd rather trust Jesus than be caught up in agreement with you. Thanks for reminding me who I need to be listening to, and move on. So let's just pray tonight. Lord, I pray right now over every mind that we, God, we're asking you tonight to bring us in remembrance of you. Lord, we know we're going to be tempted, but we know according to your word that you've said you will make the way of escape. And I'm looking for that. Shine the light on the exit, God. I don't want one foot in and one foot out. I'm tired of that. And God, I see the pain that I've caused myself and the hatred that the enemy uses and the condemnation. And I want you to know, God, tonight I recognize that it is from the enemy. And I say to myself, this is not of God. God is for me and not against me. Can you say that? God is for me and not against me. I want you to say this. God is not looking for the reason to leave me. He is looking for me to come to Him. Y'all, I just praise you. Woo, come on, Jesus. We bless you tonight, God. All those places, God, where I thought I could make stuff work and wore myself out and blamed you for it, I want you to forgive me and cleanse me tonight, God. And I want it to be you and me. I want to remember. I want to reconnect with this body. I want to reconnect with the body of Christ at large, God. And I want to remember your faithfulness and your benefits. And God, I can't answer to everybody about tomorrow, but I'm going to tell them about your mercy and your faithfulness to me from yesterday to today and the day before until it sinks into my thick skull. And thank you, Lord, for being patient with me. Man, can I get an amen there? Thank you, Lord, for being patient with me. We will always remember and never forget your faithfulness. In Jesus' name. And they all said, and she's in a hurry. She wants to get her kids. She said that so fast. Okay. God is good, right? All right. Turn around, love somebody's neck. Tell them you're glad they're here. We're sold out on Ladies Retreat. Anybody that was planning on going, don't pray that somebody will get out, but you know, I mean, we may end up with a few spaces. You got in time, but we're excited about retreat. So Charity's coming. She's going to be one of the speakers. We're going to have a really good time this year. Amen. Forgot to tell you guys, next Wednesday night after church, we're going to go to the garden room and we're going to have a birthday celebration for our worship pastor Mike Mitchell and our youth minister Aaron Christensen. Their birthdays are in the next 2 weeks. I just figured let's just have fun and get together, right? Amen. Mm-hmm.